the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Hello, Bitcoiners. Welcome to another episode where we talk about Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities, all part of the CBP Media Network. And today is August the 15th, and there's lots to talk about today, including Sphere 3D and their Q2 2022 update. Is it any good? We'll find out. We have Core Scientific rug pulling their investors. We have the Bitcoin Well. Some good information coming from them. What's happening for the remainder of 2022? Galaxy Digital, not so good news coming out from BitGo. And finally, Bitfarms. Well, what can we say about Bitfarms? Usually it's good news, and you know what? This is another one. So stick around. We're going to dive deep. You don't want to miss this episode. And we can't go any further without talking about our sponsor. And the first sponsor I want to talk about today is ShakePay. It's a great place to buy and, of course, never sell your Bitcoin. And if you open up an account with our referral code below, and if you buy $100 of Bitcoin or the competing altcoin they have on their platform, ShakePay is going to give you $30 added to your ShakePay account, no questions asked. Also, you have then the ability to shake your phone if you open up an account with our code, and ShakePay will reward you with Satoshis, which are partial Bitcoin. If you shake your phone with the ShakePay app open, once a day, you'll get a reward like this, and you do it on consecutive days, you get more and more Bitcoin to the point. If you do it for 365 straight days, you get 1,000 Satoshis added to your account. No problem. That's a good way to stack sats. Another good way to stack sats is the ShakePay Visa card, where if you load up your ShakePay app with Canadian dollars and you go out and use the ShakePay Visa card to buy stuff like gas or groceries or whatever it is you need to buy, well, the first $5,000 you purchase with the ShakePay Visa card, 2% is going to be rewarded back to you in Bitcoin, and everything beyond that 1% is going to be given to you in Bitcoin. Again, not too shabby. And the last thing they have is the Shake Squad. So if you team up with four other people, anybody that uses the ShakePay Visa app, the Visa card in your Shake Squad, everybody will be rewarded with 42 Satoshis. And it's another great way to stack sats. Oh, I forgot one last thing. They also have the Shake Paid promotion. So everything you purchase, anytime you use your ShakePay Visa card, anytime a purchase is done, you potentially roll the dice to have the whole purchase returned back to you in Bitcoin. So ShakePay gives you lots of opportunities to stack sats. Definitely check them out if you haven't already done so. Our referral code is below, and we recommend you use them for buying Bitcoin. It's a great place to do so. And since now you have a lot of Bitcoin thanks to ShakePay, what else are you going to do? Well, why not put it on Ledin platform. Earn some interest by putting your Bitcoin or USDC on their platform. And if you open up an account with our referral code, and if you then fund your Ledin account with at least 150,000 Satoshis or 10 USDC and keep it on their platform for a period of 15 consecutive days, Ledin will reward you with 10 USDC. On top of that, if you have a large stack of Bitcoin and you have some bills to pay or you need some money in a pinch, don't want to sell your Bitcoin because who does? Well, Ledin is there to help you out. So you can borrow against your Bitcoin with Ledin, and they will give you a 50% loan to value. So it's one other way you could use their services to help you out should you need money in a pinch. And if you think the price of Bitcoin is going up, and I always do, don't I? You could double up your Bitcoin stack with the Ledin's B2X option. And if you do this, time the market correctly and pull out once the price gets to a particular point, well, you simply now have more Bitcoin as a result from when you started, simply by timing the market and using the Ledin B2X feature. And the last thing they do have is the Bitcoin-backed mortgages. An industry first, but not available in every jurisdiction. So make sure you check their website to see where it's being offered, and also check their website to see what are the savings and borrowing rates, because those also change on a month-to-month basis. All right, so with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing. All right, so leading things off is a story from Sphere 3D, a company with whom I talked about very recently. I did a more in-depth look at where they are right now and where they're going to be heading. So they reported on their Q2 results, and I'll do a comparison very briefly between Q2 and Q1. But I just wanted to point out once again where they are right now, where they're going to be in the next 3-4 weeks. They'll be in a totally different place. And for example, if you look at this story that came out very recently, it talked about a shipment of 4,000 S19J Pros that are being delivered. And unfortunately, there's some delays with U.S. Customs. And so far, only about 540 have been released. The remainder, they're hoping to be all said and done at their Compute North location and will be hashing out later this month. So clearly, they have intentions, and it's the final stages. It's almost like the last mile approach here, where they're going to get all this new mining equipment installed and their hash rate is going to bump up substantially. So on their Q2 report, I'll try to compare it as much as I can to Q1. Q1 is a little bit light in details, and Q2 is somewhat light as well. But it's noted here that their CEO is saying they're in a position to grow, that they are going to be growing. And I'm in agreement with that, considering the fact that they bought those ASICs equipment, the S19J Pros. In fact, they'll be coming in the next few weeks. So clearly, they are indeed in a position to grow, and they're going to be acting on that once they receive it. Once U.S. Customs sorts out their problems there, hopefully Sphere 3D gets their equipment. They note also here for the Q2, they mined 37.1 Bitcoin for the quarter ending June 30th. In Q1, it makes no mention how much Bitcoin they mined for that quarter, but if you look at this chart, you could gauge really their Bitcoin that they mined was pretty stagnant, and I've noted this previously, starting from April. So their Q1 would have been a little bit less. I mean, it would have been 1.8 plus 3.6 plus 7.1, so clearly it wouldn't be all that much. So they did go up in terms of the Bitcoin that they mined for Q1 versus Q2, but still in terms of absolute numbers, this is pretty small. So those numbers are going to be rising substantially once they get their new equipment. So there's not much really else to say here aside from the fact that it's light on details. They talk about their company revenue of $1.9 million for Q1 versus $0.9 million for Q2 is $1.9 million and Q1 was $0.9 million. So you can see their revenue has gone up. They also talk about Filecoiner investments in the Q2 report. Were they involved in Filecoin? I don't recall them hearing that they were, but are they a crap coiner? I don't know. So I hope that they don't get involved with it anymore. They do note that there was a decrease in the price of Filecoin since they got into it, and there's some losses as a result of that. So all that being said, I know this Q2 report is rather light on details. The one thing to note is that they are going to be getting a lot more mining equipment in the foreseeable future, in the next few weeks, in fact. And so gone are going to be the days of them mining 15, 16 Bitcoin per month. And that's going to be a breath of fresh air for investors of Sphere 3D. They intend to grow quite a bit in the next little while, and I hope they achieve it. But really, the biggest problem is, when you don't have it in your hands, it's not really yours. Still, U.S. Customs is the last information I have is causing them with issues with getting the equipment. Why? I don't know. Maybe the U.S. Customs official that's looking after this is a no-coiner. But all I have to say is, if for next month, you're probably going to have a ho-hum report for Sphere 3D. But starting probably their reports for starting from September, so the month end of September, should be darn good for them. And you're going to be seeing a substantial jump in terms of the price of Bitcoin that they mine per month. And really, that's what we're looking for from this Bitcoin miner, is how much Bitcoin they mine per month. So August is going to be a little bit of a jump, but September should be a substantial jump. So keep your eyes open for that. And if you are an investor, you should be rewarded handsomely, because you've probably been holding this bag for quite some time. And hopefully investors start to notice them as a company as they deploy the capital and their hash rate jumps up. And moving on, I just want to talk about Bitcoin Well. And this is a company that I talked about more in depth last week when they reported on their Q2 2022 report. And this time around, they're talking about what's going to be moving what's going to be happening moving forward with their 2022 update. And it's looking pretty good if you look what's written in this thing. So, and this is the company that is providing non-custodial services for purchasing Bitcoin either online or through their ATM services. But nonetheless, let's take a look to see what is written here. So they reported what's going on for the outlook of the remainder of 2022. They say that they are anticipating moderate monthly growth in their in-person services and have significantly reduced expenses to a manageable level. And so they cut a whole bunch of staff and expenses. So the number of expenses they had are now much, much lower. In terms of their online portion of sales, I think that's going to grow faster than their in-person, so at the ATM. So this is something that's, I think, rather bullish. Their forecasts do not rely on any material revenue growth for their online products. So any growth in their online products would be an upside to their forecast. So the fact that they haven't forecasted the material growth, revenue growth for online, that's going to be a huge bonus should this turn out to be a boom for them. Because it's going to be something they never really forecasted, and it's going to look really good on their bottom lines. They say revenues are expected to remain strong in 2022, with the bottom line significantly improving due to the reevaluation actions taken towards lowering expenses. So they streamlined their operations, and they cut 65% of the reduction of employees compared to year-end 2021. And this is going to significantly lower their salaries and wages and general administration expenses. So they cut some fat here. Did they trim too much fat? I guess something is going to be said. But they are, from what I like about their trimming of the fat, they are also trimming the salaries for the executives as well. So they're not just talking the talk, they're walking the walk. Reduction in salary costs for all executives and senior team members, with the largest reductions being for their founder and chief executive officer, Adam O'Brien. I like the fact that he's leading the charge here in terms of taking a cut. Elimination of all non-discretionary costs. And they also reduce the size of their board of directors from 7 to 4 people. And this is expected a 75% reduction in annual governance costs. So right now on the board, you have Adam O'Brien and Dave Bradley, both really big Bitcoiners. And check them out on Twitter, especially Dave Bradley. He's really a funny guy on Twitter, but he knows his stuff. But there's two guys they added. Mitchell Demeter, I hope I pronounced his name correctly. He used to be, he was appointed as the president of Netcoins, or he was there at one time. So he knows the service of being part of a brokerage and exchange. So he does understand that side of the equation. So having him on board is going to be another very, very good. But also Terry Rode. And he is somebody that knows how to streamline operations as part of his background. And he's also a significant investor. So these are people that they are involved heavily with the operations. They are not only that, they have invested, I'm speaking more so with Terry, invested in the operations. So they believe in the cause. Again, they don't just talk the talk, they walk the walk. And they expect that this is going to give them wide savings for moving forward, and they expect it to have tangible financial improvements immediately. And it will be evidence in the third quarter of the 2022 financial results. So Q3 should have a good report. They also have a medium-term goal of having monthly cash flow to be neutral, with revenues equaling expenses, and from that point moving forward. So all in all, if you look at this, it's a small company. They have less than $12 million in market cap, so they're really small in that regard. Compared to, say, BitBuy, who was sold to WonderFi for around $200 million, north of that, in fact. This is really small in comparison. But the fact that they're trying to get to expenses, like to revenue matching their expenses, so they're not bleeding capital, bleeding cash, this is great news. I like the fact that they're doing this. Not only that, their C-suite, their taking a cut as well, so they're just not asking their employees to take a cut. They're doing it as well. Will this work out to be something that's sustainable in the long run? I don't know, but for the time being, at least they're trying to get their expenses in order. So very cool stuff. I like it. So it's a company I would suggest throwing a flyer into, it because you never know what's going to happen. This one may boom, especially if their online sales absolutely explode in the next little while. But that's just my 2 cents. I could be wrong in my approach and my thoughts. I'd like to hear your thoughts on Bitcoin Well. So post a comment below, and want to hear what you're thinking about them. And Core Scientific, and we're going to get some good news from them every once in a while, and then some bad news from them. And this is one that's bad news, unfortunately. And I talked about a few weeks back that, in fact, it was in July that they're going to be diluting, potentially diluting their company through the sale of shares, and it would net them approximately $100 million. Well, we got news very late last week. Unfortunately, that number was very, very conservative. It's going to be much higher than that. I'll tell you exactly how much they intend to sell. So Dylan LeClaire had reported last week that Core Scientific filed an S-1 with the SEC. And in the S-1 report, it's mentioning they're going to be selling up to an additional 70.67 million shares. And this is going to dilute existing shareholders by approximately 23%. The total amount it's going to net them, it's going to be around $200 million. This is a company that sold off a heck of a lot of their Bitcoin not too long ago, and they continually sell off the Bitcoin they mine just to the fact it's very, very expensive to maintain a Bitcoin mining operation, especially one the size of Core Scientific, and they're carrying a lot of debt. So that's something that they have to manage on a month-to-month basis. And it looks like one of the ways they're going to be doing this, aside from selling off the Bitcoin that they mine, which is an excessive amount, is through dilution of the company. I talked about this the last time it was reported. When you do this, it creates a sense of insecurity with investors moving forward that may not be as willing to invest in a company, because you're not going to want to park your money in a company that has a history of diluting the company, because it's going to make the existing shares much less valuable as a result. So yeah, this is unfortunately not the greatest news to be heard, but this is what I have to report. And this is one of the ways Bitcoin miners have to make ends meet, especially at a time when the price of Bitcoin is, I mean, it's showing 24,000, but it's still, compared to, say, November of last year, it's just a fraction of where it used to be. So this is just one of the ways Bitcoin miners have to make ends meet. And it's too bad that Core Scientific is going to rug their investors by $200 million. They're going to be raising up to $200 million. That's a lot of money, a lot of added liquidity that they're going to be adding to their company, but still a lot of extra shares it's going to be pumped out there. So expect the price of this company to drop a little bit once this action is taken, once they start executing on selling these shares, because that's a lot of shares that are just going to be added to the market. So keep that in mind if you are a Core Scientific investor. I'm sorry to report this particular news, but that's all I have to say at this moment. And I got a very brief piece of news from Galaxy Digital, and this is the company that is led by Mike Novogratz. He's the CEO of Galaxy Digital, that's famously tied to Luna. He has the Luna tattoo on his bicep, so it goes to show you what are his allegiances when it comes to digital assets. So it's definitely not Bitcoin. Anyways, what was announced today is that they not too long ago, had announced that they intend to buy BitGo. And unfortunately, this is going to no longer be the case. Galaxy has terminated the announced acquisition to acquire BitGo as a result, because BitGo failed to deliver by July 31st, 2022, audited financial statements for 2021. And this would have been in compliance with the requirements of their agreements. And there's going to be no termination fees payable in connection with this termination. So Galaxy is not going to be on the hook for anything, but will BitGo be on the hook for anything? That makes me wonder if they're just going to walk away without having to pay any penalty. Why didn't they provide this information? Is there something that they don't want to provide that may be concerning that they just don't want to show? It makes me wonder. There's something fishy here. Hard for me to say without looking at everything, but it seems rather odd and suspicious. They wouldn't want to provide this information to Galaxy Digital. It looks like they rug pulled this acquisition simply for the sake of rug pulling it. They had all the cards in their hand, and they said, no, we're not going to go ahead with it because they didn't provide this information. Why did they not provide this information? Well, I guess this is something we'll have to find out, hopefully over a period of time. If you are a BitGo user, I'd be kind of concerned given this, because why would they not want to share this? I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much in the tea leaves here, but yeah, I have nothing else to say, but there's just something suspicious about this, and it's hard for me to pinpoint exactly what's going on. And for the last story is Bitfarms, and it's their Q2 2022 update, and it's pretty good because investors absolutely loved it. So for their second quarter, they mined 1,257 Bitcoin, not too bad. As of the end of June 30th, their hash rate was 3.6 exahash per second. It's gone up substantially since then. They said they at that point they have brought online two phases of the Bunker build. I talked about this. And now they're approaching 2%, at least at that time, 2% of the Bitcoin network in terms of hash rate, total hash rate, which is a Bitfarms record. So Bitfarms themselves represent around 2% of the overall reported hash rate, which is really, really impressive stuff. They said for July 31st, at the end of July 31st, they were mining up to 17 Bitcoin per day, which is really, really good number. And if you look at the productivity, that's the Bitcoin per hash rate, they're around 135 in July, which is one of the best in the industry. They were bringing online their first warehouse in Argentina and phase three of the Bunker build out, and they're targeting 4.2 exahash by the end of third quarter and 6 exahash by the end of 2022. Argentina, they're able to obtain really, really competitive energy rates, and I'll explain why this is very important. So I mentioned they mined 1,257 Bitcoin on average. The cost was $9,900 per Bitcoin for Q2, and this is up from Q1 2022, which was $8,700. So as you can see, the price of Bitcoin to mine Bitcoin has gone up since Q1, and it's getting more costly to mine Bitcoin. This is a big part here, the liquidity. And they said by deleveraging their balance sheet and increasing financial flexibility, they are better positioned to execute their growth initiatives to drive market shares gains and increase productions. And they're trying to optimize their resources. And so far, they have mentioned they're deferring $39 million of CapEx spending to the fourth quarter from 2022 into 2023. And the company holds $46 million in cash, 3144 Bitcoin on reserves. Keep in mind that the deleveraging is absolutely massive, especially when the market is in a lull. When things are going great, it's okay to be leveraged if you do it right. But when things are going downhill, it's very, very difficult to make ends meet. In fact, they had to sell off a whole bunch of their Bitcoin. They sold off 3,357 Bitcoin and they made $69 million as a result. They closed a $37 million new financing agreement. They paid down $62 million of the Bitcoin-backed loans, reducing it to $38 million. In fact, this lowers their interest expense by $7 million on an annualized basis, frees up $27 million of BTC that was collateralized for the facility. So they were leveraged against their Bitcoin. They amended the Bitcoin-backed loans. They reduced the maximum from $100 million to $40 million while extending the maturity by 3 months to October 1st, 2022. It's going to free up a whole bunch of money for them. They raised $9.6 million through net proceeds from at-the-market equity program. This is selling their shares as par for the course for Bitfarms. They adjusted the delivery schedule without penalty for certain mining equipment until 2023. So they're just being very, very lenient in terms of getting the equipment. They paid down another $15 million of the Bitcoin-backed loans. They reduced their balance to $23 million as of July 31st, freeing up an additional $6 million of BTC, and they also raised another $4.1 million in net proceeds at the market. So this is in addition to the end of the quarter that I talked about just a little while ago. So the recent highlights, this is rather good. They installed over 10,000 miners. They surpassed 3.9 exahash per second by the beginning of August. As I mentioned, they're mining in excess of 17 Bitcoin per day as of the end of July. Their total electrical capacity was increased by 29 megawatts to 166 megawatts. And that's a pretty big jump, and that's as of the end of the quarter. So if you look at a breakdown, their phase two, the Bunker added 18 megawatts. The Leger full production added 8 megawatts. And their Washington State contributed another 3 megawatts of power. So all in all, they just continually build out their infrastructure. This is another big one. So they plan to get the 4.2 exahash as of September 30th and 6 exahash as of December 31st, 2022. And they already have 1.2 exahash of miners contracted for its Argentinian warehouses, where energy is going to be very cheap to obtain and to utilize. So all in all, Bitfarms, you're going to be getting the 6 exahash next year, which is good. And a little more than one-sixth of it is going to be coming from Argentina, where energy is dirt cheap in comparison to where they're getting it in North America. So that 9,000 and change that they're spending per Bitcoin that they mine right now, that should drop substantially as they ramp up their operations in Argentina. But keep in mind, Argentina is still kind of, it's a question mark given the environment over there, the political environment, the economic environment over there. You never know what's going to happen moving forward. They could simply nationalize any of the Bitcoin mining operations and Bitfarms might be SOL as a result. So I can't say for certain that what's going on in Argentina with Bitfarms is going to be all perfect. We just don't know because there's a lot of instability going on over there. The inflation rate in Argentina, I don't want to make this too much about Argentina, but their inflation rate is being reported at around 90% annualized year over year, which is incredibly high. So that just goes to show you, doing business over there, it comes with a level of risk that doesn't happen here in North America. But still, nonetheless, what was reported by Bitfarms, I love it. They're cleaning up their mess, that the mess of the leverage debt that they have. That is no longer as big a burden as it used to be. They are able now to move forward. Unfortunately, some of the CapEx expenditures are going to be moving from the end of this year to next year. But still, 6 exahash, something that is definitely nothing to sneeze at. It's a decent amount. It's not Core Scientific, but then again, who is? Bitfarms, I like it. It's, take a look at them if you already haven't invested in them. I've been talking about them favorably for quite some time. And also their chief mining officer, Ben Gagnon, check him out if you haven't listened to him before. He's been on our show in the past. And if you listen to him and you don't come out as a bull, I don't know, man, like, you just give your head a shake because there's something wrong with you. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed this update because I love Bitfarms. I like this update, and I suspect we're going to be hearing more and more of this moving forward. And that's it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And before we wrap things up, just want to make sure you're aware that you know that I'm not a financial advisor, and Joey's not a financial advisor, and nor are any of the guests that come on our show. None of us, none of them, nobody is a financial advisor. Do your own research, do your own due diligence before you buy anything that we talk about. And with that being said, we'll be chatting again tomorrow, so take care. Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another episode where we talk about Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities, all part of the CBP Media Network. Today is August the 16th. Quite a bit to talk about on the docket today. We'll be discussing Bitcoin Well, some really interesting news coming out of them. There's a lot of news coming out of their camp lately. Greenidge, give them some love, and similarly, we'll give some love to Soluna Holdings. Riot, that we'll be examining on their Q2 report, DigiHost ditto on their Q2 report, and CoinSmart. I'm not all that versed on exchanges, but I'll do my best to try to connect dots here, and we'll see what's going on over there. This is going to be a good episode. You don't want to miss it, so stick around. And we can't go on any further without talking about our sponsors. And the first sponsor today is ShakePay. It's a great place to buy and, of course, never sell your Bitcoin. But you could if you wanted to. And if you open up an account with our referral code below, and if you fund your account with $100 and buy $100 worth of Bitcoin or the competing altcoin they have on their platform, well, ShakePay is going to give you $30, no questions asked, to add it to your account. Also, if you do open up an account with our code, you get to unlock the ability to shake your phone with the ShakePay app being open, and you will be rewarded with partial Bitcoin known as Satoshis. Run up a consecutive day streak, you get a little bit more each day, up to the point where 365 straight days, you'll be given 1,000 Satoshis per day per shake. Not too bad. Another great way to stack sats with ShakePay is with the ShakePay Visa card. And if you load up your ShakePay app with Canadian dollars and go ahead and make purchases with it with the ShakePay Visa card, well, the first $5,000 you purchase, 2% will be rewarded back to you in Bitcoin and added to your account. And everything beyond that, 1% rewarded back to you. And you can potentially get the whole thing comped in with the ShakePay promotion. So every time you use the ShakePay Visa card, you have the potential of getting the whole thing returned back to you in Bitcoin, the whole purchase. Not too bad. And the last great way that they have to stack sats is with the Shake Squads, where you could team up with up to four other ShakePay users. Anytime anybody uses in your Shake Squad the ShakePay Visa card, well, everybody's going to be rewarded with 42 Satoshis. So ShakePay gives you lots of opportunities to stack sats. So we recommend you open up an account with our referral code below. And what are you going to do with all the new Bitcoin that you have on your stack? Well, why not put it on the Ledin platform, who also sponsors our podcast. And if you open up an account with our code below, fund your Ledin account with at least 150,000 Satoshis or 75 USDC. Keep it on their platform for at least 15 consecutive days, and they're going to reward you with 10 USDC. And if you are in need of money, but you don't want to sell your Bitcoin because who does? Well, Ledin is there to help you out where you can borrow against your Bitcoin. They'll give you a loan, 50% loan to value, and you're good to go. If you're feeling lucky, don't forget about Ledin's B2X option, where if you think the price of Bitcoin is going up, you could double up your Bitcoin stack. And once the price of Bitcoin goes up to a point where you're happy, you pull out, you're good to go, and you have now more Bitcoin simply by timing the market and using Ledin's B2X feature. The last thing Ledin has is the Bitcoin-backed mortgages. This is an industry first, but of course not available in every jurisdiction. So make sure you check their website to see where it's being offered. But also while you're on their website, make sure you check to see what are their savings and their borrowing rates, because these change on a month-to-month basis. And with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing. And leading things off is a story from Bitcoin Well. And this is a company that there's been a lot of news lately coming out of their camp. So I'm wondering what's going on. And they are, if you're unaware, a company that sells Bitcoin to end users through non-custodial means. You either buy it through one of their ATMs or you go to their in-store or buy it online. That's their what they do. So they sell Bitcoin to people. And there's just a non-custodial method of providing users with Bitcoin. And the news today is that they were listed on the OTCQB, so they now have exposure in the US in terms of selling their shares. Their ticker is BCNWF, if you are inquiring about that. This is something that isn't groundbreaking, it's kind of baby steps. It's showing that their company is maturing and it continues to evolve. What's next from this? Their market cap is still really, really small, so I don't think they'll be able to get listed on the TSX because they're currently on a venture exchange. So I think they're going to remain in this current state for some time where they are on a venture, but also on the OTC markets, the over-the-counter markets in the US. So this is, you know, decent news. It's not groundbreaking, it's not earth-shattering, but it shows you that there's at least some movement behind the scenes. They're trying to get their company, get more exposure from their company to more investors, which is a good thing. It's going to give them ability to gain more capital a little bit easier. But again, it's not groundbreaking, but it is the right step, the step in the right direction for a company you want to see grow. So good for Bitcoin Well. This is pretty good news. Okay, let's give Greenidge some love, who came out with their Q2 report and their July 2022 update. We'll do a comparison between June and July and Q1 and Q2, so we get an idea where they're moving. And let's just dive into this one, because there's some good things and some bad things, and I just want to point them out. Well, before we go any further, we could just look right away at their June and July production. They mined 287 Bitcoin for the month of July versus 230 for June. So obviously they're moving up. Their hash rate also moves up. It was at June, it was 2.5 exahash per second versus July 2.7. So it's gone up 200 petahash. And the amount of mining equipment they have deployed, they had 27,500 in June. And now in July, they have 29,300. So obviously they're deploying the mining equipment and moving forward. Now, if you want to look at Q1 versus Q2, Q2, they mined 621 versus 561 from Q1. So it's gone up around 60 exactly. Their hash rate went from Q1 at 1.6 exahash per second to 2.5 exahash per second at Q2. So it's gone up. I'm just trying to show here there's a trend. And the amount of ASICs that they have deployed from Q1 was 19,400, and Q2 is 27,500. So again, the trend continues, more and more equipment getting deployed, hash rate going up, and also Bitcoin mining going up. But One thing to note, the cash that they have in reserves has gone down from Q1 to Q2. They had $98 million in Q1. Now they're sitting at 67. So they've spent quite a bit of money. $31 million in total has been depleted from the reserves in one quarter. Now, if you want to go look at the Q2 report, I'm just going to show you the good and what might be concerning. So because the market has taken a overall downturn, they decided to pause their plans to develop certain additional sites. So they're being conservative in their approach. Instead, they're going to be concentrating on the operations of their two existing sites in South Carolina and in New York. I'll be talking about the New York one in just a little bit. They now have an expected hash rate of at least 3.6 exahash per second by Q1 2023. So that's going to be a pretty good jump from where they're currently sitting at around 2.7 as of the end of July. So that's going to be a decent jump. So as you can see, the trend is number go up, and this goes for the Bitcoin mine, the amount for their hash rate and the ASICs that they have on their network. And their development plan, they say, is fully funded with cash on their balance sheet. So that's $67 million of cash in their balance sheet. That's going to go down over time because they're going to be focusing on expanding their operations in their two existing locations in South Carolina and in New York. And they have $11 million that were charged this past quarter. This is for an environmental liabilities charge. And I suspect this is from their location in New York. So of that large drawdown in terms of their cash reserves, $11.1 million is simply for one environmental liabilities charge that they had levied against them. And in terms of the amount of debt they have, they're trying to increase the amortization rate so they're not subjected to larger monthly payments. They ended the quarter, they say, with $67 million in cash, and they have $92 million in cash deposits with Bitmain as of June 30th. And in terms of their liabilities and their debt, they say, further to a report that was filed just today, is the 10-Q report filed with the SEC. They amended, so Greenidge amended their terms with Greenidge's security promissory note by extending the maturity to June 2023. So this is for their payment for their debt. This is going to be reducing their monthly scheduled amortization payments and reducing cash mandatory prepayments. The interest rate of the secured promissory note was revised to 7.5%, and the principal balance following the amendment was $16.4 million. That is pretty good, the fact that they're restructuring their debt so it's not as big as a burden as it used to be. But this is something that is concerning to me. Now, note they have the operation in New York, and they say, consistent with the intentions provided in its press release June 30th, Greenidge filed a notice with the New York Department of Environmental Conservation on July 28th, requesting a hearing on their decision to deny Greenidge's application for a Title V air permit renewal at its Dresden, New York location. So they have a mining facility in Dresden, New York. And of course, because proof of work and New York don't go hand in hand, it looks like Greenidge is suffering the consequences of it. But Greenidge is permitted to operate uninterrupted under a State Administration Procedures Act, because they are filing an appeal to this. And they're saying, while there's no proceedings that have been scheduled to date, they say it could take a number of years to fully resolve. But this is something that could really impact their ability to mine Bitcoin from their location in New York. If this appeal process is fast-tracked and it's negative in terms of a decision that's going to be rendered, it's going to leave Greenidge in a very difficult position moving forward. So there is some good, as you could tell. Restructuring debt is good. Number go up on a number of fronts is good. But the bad, well, as you can see, there's State of New York. There's always that question mark above my head, at least, and there's a little bit of doubt in my head with regards to what's going to happen with that location moving forward. So that's the good and the bad. If you are looking to invest in them, keep in mind you might get rug pulled with what's going on with their operations in New York. But other than that, it seems to be pretty good. They keep deploying more and more miners, and to get the 3+ exahash per second by next year, 2023, it's a pretty good number. So all in all, good, but there is some bad alongside it. So another company which I'm going to give some love is Soluna, and they are in terms of market cap, not very large. I believe it's less than $70 million is their market cap. So that puts them in one of the smaller Bitcoin mining companies in that sphere. But they are expanding, and they are putting a lot of capital and mining equipment on their network to expand their operations. And I'll explain what's going on. So they provided an update on their second quarter results. And well, let's just take a look to see what's transpired in the last bunch of quarters. And you can see from Q1 2021 to Q2 2022, there's been a huge jump. So the Bitcoin mine, I'm going to start from Q1 2021, was 22, then 36, then 74, then 153, then 226, then 267. So every month, the Bitcoin that they mine is jumping up substantially. And this is a result of their hash rate, which is now sitting at 833 as of Q2 2022. And their hash rate jumps up by petahash the last two quarters, 200 petahash or so. And that's a decent amount that's being increased. So remember, in terms of market cap, they're rather small. But in terms of where they're going to be growing, they're going to be one of the on the cusp of mid-tier Bitcoin mining company with respect to their hash rate. And they say over the next the course of second quarter, their long-term pipeline opportunities grew by nearly 2 gigawatts. This is a company that has access to a lot of energy. If they could deploy the mining equipment on the opportunities that they have to draw energy, they could become very, very large. And they see multiple opportunities for their 50 to 150 megawatts of data center projects. Multiple opportunities of 50 to 150 megawatts. That is very impressive, because those are pretty decent mining operations. And if they have multiple versions of them that they could proceed with it, that can make them into a very big company. Also of note is the power draw, how much it's costing them to draw power. They say the focus are on sites with the ability to operate between $25 to $27 per megawatt hour. Converting that to kilowatt hours, that is dirt cheap in comparison to other Bitcoin mining. They're drawing energy at a very, very cheap rate. This means that they're saying that other miners were forced to unplug, but they were able to continue mining. I understand why, because with the cheap energy that they're drawing from, they're able to continue mining Bitcoin, even if the price of Bitcoin goes below $20,000 US. Their peak hash rate is now in excess of 1 exahash per second. And like I mentioned, that is bringing them to the point where they are at a mid-tier Bitcoin mining company. Looking everything the way I see here, the amount of growth that's going to be happening, and with the hash rate where it stands, where it is right now, and where it's going to be moving towards, this may be a company that's going to expand in terms of their market cap, because people are going to see that this company has opportunities to grow substantially over the next little while, with multiple projects of 50 to 150 megawatt facilities that they could work on. That is going to really impact their ability positively to mine Bitcoin moving forward. This is a company you're going to have to keep your eyes on. This is one that started off very, very small. They were mining just a very little bit of Bitcoin every month as of last year. But every month, they deploy more capital, and every month their hash rate goes up, and every month the amount of Bitcoin they mine keeps moving up. So keep your eyes on Soluna Holding, because this is a company that is going places. All right, let's keep spreading the love. In this case, Riot's going to get it, and this is a company that is going to be expanding absolutely a massive amount in the next two quarters, and I'm going to explain why. Let's take a look at the amount of Bitcoin they mined in the past three quarters. So Q4 2021, 1354, Q1 2022, 1405, and it's reported for Q2 2022, 1395. So it's been stagnant in terms of the amount of Bitcoin they're mining every month. And even their hash rate, Q4 2021 was 3.1 exahash per second. Q1 2022 is 4.3, and Q2 2022 is 4.4. So the hash rate has been pretty flat. I know it's gone up a little bit over one since Q4 2021, but I'm going to explain why it seems rather flat. The amount of miners they have has gone down since the previous quarter. So Q1 2022, they were reporting they had 46,375 ASICs doing their thing. But in Q2, it went down to 44,720. So they went down about 1,500 ASICs machines, but still their hash rate went up by about 100 petahash. How? They have more efficient miners doing their thing and they're taking advantage of immersion cooling. If you also look at the Bitcoin they have on their balance sheet, they're holding quite a bit. Last quarter, Q1, they're showing 6,320 Bitcoin in the balance sheet, and Q2, they just reported 6,653. And even the cash that they have on their balance gone up significantly from 113 million from the previous quarter to 270 million this quarter. But now I was talking about their hash rate being stagnant because they plan to get to 12.3 exahash per second in Q1 2023. So the amount of expansion that they're going to be doing in the next two quarters, they're almost going to be 3xing the amount of hash rate that's last reported from Q2 2022. So this is a company that does, from periodically time to time, try to generate revenue by selling shares. They sold 30.6 million of their shares. They made $267 million from those from those sales of their shares. Another thing that helped them get some, well, not really, it was credit, really, power credit. So there was some power curtailment they had to do in Texas because the grid was taxed and mining equipment had to be unplugged, and the power authorities ended up giving them power credit that could be used for the next 12 months. And $5.7 million worth of power credits were given to Riot as a result of unplugging their equipment from the grid. And if they were to have simply continued hashing away, they would have mined the approximate value of $2.2 million. So they saved, or they made a heck of a lot more money simply by unplugging mining equipment and taking the power credits and moving forward. All in all, I talked about that they're going to be going to 12.5 exahash per second, and they want to have 115,000 miners. That's a huge jump from where they are right now. So there's going to be a lot of expansion moving forward, a lot of deployment of equipment. So keep in mind, this company's, their hash rate is going to jump up significantly in the next two quarters. And they also filed a prospectus some time ago saying that they'd be selling some stock time to raise up to $500 million. And they have been doing this continuously. So all in all about Riot, it's more about just keep deploying ASIC equipment and watching the hash rate and the Bitcoin number that they mine, the amount of Bitcoin they mine, go up. And this is going to happen in an enormous amount in the next two quarters. So quarter three and quarter four, expect some massive jumps in terms of the numbers they're going to be projecting, or the numbers that they are going to be reporting. Is this going to be something that investors are going to be looking to be kindly upon? Probably not, because they're expecting this. I hope that there's no hiccups along the way or hurdles that need to be, that they can't jump over, because that's going to cause some real problems with the price of their stock. But should they meet all the expected deployment of equipment, this is a company that is going to be one of the bigger Bitcoin mining companies within the next 6 months. I look forward to watching how this plays out, because again, if they experience any problems with deploying the equipment, this is going to be something that is going to be really looked upon negatively by investors. So keep this in mind if you are a Riot investor. It's a lot of work they're going to have to do in the next two quarters. Can they achieve it? I hope so. Will they achieve it? Well, time will tell. And DigiHost is a company which I have been fond of, and they were going to get listed on NASDAQ, which they did last year, and that pumped up the price. I was very happy when that happened. But they just reported on their Q2 2022 update, and I'll dive deep as much as I can here. So for the 6 months leading up to June 30th, so this is not Q1, but this is both Q1 and Q2, they mined 438 Bitcoin for that period of time, and that's compared to 215 to the previous year, 6 months. So in the span of 1 year, they more than doubled the amount of Bitcoin that they're mining. Their cash reserves and cash equivalents stands at 13.7 million as of June 30th. So that gives them a little bit of flexibility in terms of what they're going to be able to do moving forward. And I'll talk about their plans to expand. So in terms of their Q2 highlights, they mined 251 Bitcoin for the quarter. So that's a decent amount. Their hash rate, they're not the largest of companies, but they plan to grow. In fact, I noted it here, they're at 650 petahash per second right now. But that's a number that's going to change in a not too distant future. In fact, they just bought they're expanding a facility in Alabama, and this is going to give them 22 megawatts of power initially, and it's going to expand to 55 megawatts in Q1 2023, and the miners are going to be expected to be installed at the Alabama location as of Q4. So their hash rate is going to be going up as of Q4, and it's going to be going up substantially. They secured a whole bunch of power from their energy partner, Energy Mark, and this is a big thing because Bitcoin mining companies require lots of energy, and for securing energy at that location is going to help them out tremendously. But this is something that's rather interesting. Before I get there, actually, I want to talk about the North Carolina expansion, that they've purchased 25 acres of land in North Carolina, and it's going to be allocation for up to 200 megawatts of power. That's a pretty big facility that they're going to be expanding on. But here's the interesting part. So back in May 2022, they announced they're going to be purchasing up to 1.2 million shares at the market price. But unfortunately, they have suspended this moving forward. In fact, they're now doing the opposite. They're doing an at-the-market financing where they now are going to be selling some of their shares at the ATM program in order to raise capital to make ends meet. So rather than buying shares, they're going to be selling shares. So I'm not sure if this is something that's going to make people upset, but this is unfortunately one of the ways Bitcoin mining companies have to make do. I suspect they changed course because the price of Bitcoin went down and it stayed down for some time. And as a result, they have to find other means to raise capital. I suspect if the price of Bitcoin was in 60,000 or 70,000 or higher, they probably would have been buying back shares. But unfortunately, the market's situation has changed quite a bit since then, and here they are. They pivoted and changed course. So that's my update on DigiHost. All in all, it's rather good. It's going to be expanding moving forward in terms of their hash rate and the amount of Bitcoin they mine. They're never going to be one of the bigger Bitcoin mining companies out there, but they do plan to, at least when this Alabama location is fully energized and operational, they're going to be at a point where there may be upper level, lower tier, or lower level mid tier. But I guess this is just semantics, and we'll see what people think where they are. But they're growing, and that's a good thing, that you want to see them continue to grow. And I do like DigiHost, and I like their approach. And the final story I have is from CoinSmart, who reported on their Q2 2022 update. And I'll try to do my best to look into what's going on here. But before I do, just want to make note that we talked to their CEO, Justin Hartzman, not too long ago. I'll post a link here, and hopefully it shows up on your feed. I know YouTube is giving us trouble with having them show up on the viewers' feeds. But nonetheless, let's look at the Q2 report. The registered users, they have announced, reached 260,000 as of the end of Q2. Now, keep in mind, ShakePay has over a million users. BitBuy has 400,000 users or so. Coinberry has around 250,000, so around 250,000. So CoinSmart is kind of on par where Coinberry was with they last reported. So if this is something good or bad, this is what it is. Something which is, I think, good, especially at these times, these troubled times, is they have no long-term debt. And they say that their gross revenue, net revenue decreased by only 18% and 8% respectively year over year. And while spot volume trading across the top 10 exchanges decreased 56%, and the global crypto market capitalization decreased by 40% year over year. So in terms of what they're doing in comparison to their peers, it doesn't seem all that bad, but the amount of registered users, they gained 44,700 over the quarter. So even if you amortize that over a year, it's just a little bit over 200,000. Again, ShakePay alone has over a million. So I'm not trying to pump ShakePay here, but they are our sponsor, but this is the reality. BitBuy even has a heck of a lot more, and they probably will continue to remain that. This I didn't realize is that they had a partnership with a Scotch company that hit the shelves of the LCBO not too long ago, and this was in a collaboration that took place in both Ontario and British Columbia. And so with partnership of this Scotch company, the patrons would be able to redeem codes from their packaging to get some quote unquote cryptocurrency. Interesting stuff going on here. But all in all, it's not much else I could say. It's hard to digest what's going on here because I don't follow too much with the exchange markets. But I could just say off the top of my head, they're around a quarter of the users that does have ShakePay, and a little bit more than half than BitBuy, and about the same as Coinberry. Is this something that is deemed to be successful? I do not know. But having no debt is something that's good. In fact, we could even take a look to see what coins they offer on their platform as an idea. Obviously, they offer Bitcoin, but ETH, Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash, XLM, EOS, Doge, DOT, USDC, ADA, SHIB, Link, Uniswap, Solana, AVAX, and Matic. So a lot of the usual stuff that you expect from an exchange. I don't know. And what I was trying to look for to see if anything they sell that might be considered a security that the SEC might be looking at in depth in the next little while, but I couldn't find anything. I guess all of them, aside from Bitcoin, I would say, maybe not the Bitcoin Cash and Litecoin, are not securities, but maybe those two are. Bitcoin Cash is, but nonetheless, I don't think anything that they have listed is probably under the radar just yet of the SEC. I know that would be something that would impact CoinSmart's bottom line moving forward, but yeah, that's all I gotta say about CoinSmart. Nothing else that I gotta say aside from that. You gotta connect the dots here for me. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. And before I sign off, just want to make sure you're aware that I'm not a financial advisor and Joey's not a financial advisor, nor have anybody that's been on the show can be thought to be a financial advisor. So make sure you do your own research before you buy anything. Don't rely on what we're talking about. Make sure you do your own due diligence. And with that, take care. Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another episode where we talk about Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities, all part of the CBP Media Network. Today is August the 18th, and in this episode, we'll do a deep dive into the saga that is Stronghold Digital, ticker SDIG, and the drama surrounding this, and we could look into the perils of what it's like to run a Bitcoin mining operation, and the problems that exist when you fail to deliver on promises. So stick around, because this is gonna be a good one. And we can't go any further without talking about our sponsors. And the first sponsor of today's episode is ShakePay. It's a great place to buy and, of course, never sell your Bitcoin, but you could if you wanted to. And if you open up an account with our referral code below and you buy $100 worth of Bitcoin, well, ShakePay is going to give you $30. Add it to your account, no questions asked. They also will give you the ability to shake your phone. And if you do this, with the ShakePay app being open, you'll be rewarded with partial Bitcoin. So if you do this in multiple days, you get more and more Bitcoin, to the point where if you do it for 365 straight days, the reward will be 1,000 Satoshis. Not too bad. Another good way to stack sats, well, use the ShakePay Visa app. And if you do so and load up your ShakePay app with Canadian dollars and buy anything, groceries, gas, whatever the heck you buy on a typical day, well, the first 5,000 you purchase, ShakePay will reward you with Bitcoin. The first 5,000, 2% of all purchases will be rewarded back to you in Bitcoin and added to your account. And beyond that, everything, 1% of all purchases will be added to your account in Bitcoin. Another great way to stack sats. They also have the ShakePay promotion where you could potentially get the whole thing that you purchased with the ShakePay Visa card returned back to you in Bitcoin. Not too bad. The last thing to have is the Shake Squads, where you could team up with up to four other ShakePay users. Anytime anybody uses the ShakePay Visa card, well, everybody will be rewarded with 42 sats. Another great way to stack sats. We recommend using ShakePay. I use it, Joey uses it, and we recommend you use it as well. And what are you going to do with all that Bitcoin that you just have on your account now? Well, why not put some of it on Ledin and earn some interest? So our second sponsor is, of course, Ledin. Open up an account with our code below, fund your Ledin account with 150,000 Satoshis or 75 USDC, keep it on your platform for 15 consecutive days, and Ledin will reward you with 10 USDC. If you need money and you don't want to sell your large Bitcoin stack, well, Ledin is there to help you out, where they could basically loan you money against your Bitcoin. 50% loan to values apply in this case. So if you need money, don't want to sell your Bitcoin, well, Ledin is there to help you out. Also, if you think the price of Bitcoin is going up, the B2X option is available, where you could double up your Bitcoin stack. And if you time it right, so if the price of Bitcoin goes up and you pull out, well, voila, you now have more Bitcoin simply by timing the market and using Ledin's B2X option. And the last thing they have is the Bitcoin-backed mortgages. These are an industry first, but not available in every jurisdiction. So make sure you check their website to see where that's being offered. But also when you're on their website, make sure you check to see what are the interests for the savings and borrowing rate, because those change on a month-to-month basis. So now with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing. And the first story I have, and in fact, the only story I want to talk about, is Stronghold Digital, traded under the ticker SDIG on the NASDAQ. Initially, it was listed a little bit less than a year ago to much fanfare, and it was initially listed under an IPO. They were trying to go through a SPAC, but that didn't go through, and how they got listed was through an IPO. And when they were listed, the stock price jumped up absolutely 30, 40, 50% when it first got listed. There was a lot of fanfare behind it. A company that turns waste coal that is very bad for the environment, it's very acidic, and they turned that into energy and then ultimately mine Bitcoin with that energy. So it's a vertically integrated company, and this is a company that you'd expect to do well, and it would be something that it would be a showcase for the Bitcoin mining community. But unfortunately, they failed to deliver on their promises, and here they are today, and things are not looking good with them. And moving forward, it's going to be very challenging. And I just want to dive deep into what's going on with the past little while with Stronghold Digital. So if you go back, as of earlier this year, they reported on their fourth quarter. And well, this is where the problems first started. They were saying at that point they were no longer targeting 8.0 exahash by the end of 2022. And so that was the biggest kick to their nuts once they announced that. And their stock price took a tumble for many, many weeks after that, because, well, you're trying to achieve 8.0 exahash, which is a very respectable number, and not achieving it, well, investors are not going to take that kindly. So they were then revised that later on to 4.1, so about half of what they're originally intending they were going to be achieving in terms of their hash rate, and that is a significant drop. And they kept talking about 4.1, 4.1, 4.1 exahash is what they're going to be achieving. But even then, it's not like it's going to be something they could achieve. Just this week, they're under some severe stress right now due to the amount of debt that they have. And in order to get this debt sorted out, they returned 26,200 Bitcoin mining machines to NYDIG. And this is going to eliminate $67.4 million of outstanding debt. And that's going to give them a lot of flexibility moving forward. It's a lot of mining equipment that's being given back just to deal with debt. So if we look at their second quarter results, we could just dive deep into this. So as I originally mentioned, that they returned the 26,000 miners to NYDIG. And of those, 18,700, which were already mining away, and that had an approximate hash rate of 2.5 exahash per second. So that's been slashed off the books. No longer hashing away on Stronghold Digital's network, and NYDIG is now the bag holder of all that equipment. What are they going to do with it? Who the heck knows? They also restructured the Whitehawk debt, and this is going to extend the existing debt that they have, and it's going to be extending it from 14 to 36 months. So it's going to be decreasing the amount of money that they're going to have to pay every month to deal with the debt itself. And it's going to be adding $20 million of additional borrowing capacity. And they intend to deploy this money for purchasing of additional mining equipment moving forward. So the amortization rate of this debt with Whitehawk, they just extended it to 3 years. And it was originally 14 months. So they're not going to be able to pay as much on a monthly basis. And getting $28 million extra, the potential debt, which they could buy mining equipment. I don't know. I mean, giving back the 26,000 mining equipment and now extending the amortization of this debt and trying to use that $20 million to buy more equipment that they just lost, it's not looking good. And this, they're saying that it's going to free up a lot of capital and a lot of their outstanding debt that they have to be paying. And so it's going to make things a little bit easier. They're estimating a forecasted cash flow of approximately $40 million through the end of 2023 through a reduction of the interest and principal payments. And this is going to give them a lot more flexibility. Another thing that's going very, very bad for them. Now, keep in mind, this is a vertically integrated company that creates its own energy and uses that to mine Bitcoin. They just announced today that historically high power prices to help mitigate the cash flow impact from returning miners given their vertically integrated business model. With lower Bitcoin margins and higher power costs, Stronghold has been continuously toggling between selling power to the grid and mining Bitcoin. Are they a Bitcoin mining company or are they a power generating company trying to sell power to the grid? That's the question that remains to be seen. But I suppose as a business model, if they can make more money selling energy to the grid rather than mining Bitcoin, I'm fine with that as an investor. But still, what is their intention here? Are they going to be using their Bitcoin mining equipment to mine Bitcoin? Or if they're selling it to the grid, the mining equipment they do have is not hashing away. And it's being depreciated and not doing anything. That's a double whammy. So are they a Bitcoin mining company or are they a power producing company? And they were saying that now they were materially less leveraged. And so it's going to give them a lot of flexibility moving forward. And they say they ended, this is really big. They ended a quarter, this past quarter, with $33 million in cash. $400,000 in unrestricted digital currencies, and this is huge, $127.9 million in debt. So gone is the mining equipment of 26,000, and that's 2.5 exahash per second. Just gone. See you later. Not going to be seen again. And now their mining capacity remains 1.4 exahash. So from an initial, they were talking 8.0 exahash per second by the end of 2022, then revised to 4.1 by the end of 2022, to now they're talking that they only have 1.4 moving forward, and they're going to have to take on debt, more debt, in order to buy more equipment. This is a company that's positioned in a very difficult spot. Are they going to be able to survive should the price of Bitcoin remain in its low 20s? Because if it does, what are they going to do? They're going to obviously sell the Bitcoin that they mine, but they're not going to be able to recoup a heck of a lot of money from that Bitcoin. Are they going to continually sell power to the grid? Well, that's great. But then again, the mining equipment that they do have on their fleet is not going to be doing anything, depreciating as a result of them having it on in their hands, but doing nothing. That is not a good use of capital. The return on investment is not going to be possible in terms of a very short time frame is going to be much longer. So all said and done, this is the things you should not be doing as a Bitcoin mining company. You should not be putting out excessively high targets that you can't reach. If you do so, you're going to get wrecked. You can't go out there and continually add on debt expecting the price of Bitcoin to go up and using that high price of Bitcoin to help pay for the leverage debt that you have. It's not going to happen. You have to prepare for the worst, and the worst being the price of Bitcoin taking a massive dive in the low 20s. And this company, will they be left to survive moving forward? I do not know. This is a company that could potentially be bought out by a bigger company moving forward. The fact that they're vertically integrated gives them a lot of flexibility. They are able to generate their own power, and as a result, they have one less variable in the equation that they have to deal with. So, in my personal opinion, I suspect somebody's going to come out and try to scoop them up on the cheap and make use of what they have in terms of their available assets and try to incorporate that in their existing business. Stronghold Digital, I feel bad for the investors because you got absolutely wrecked by this whole saga over here. It's not going to be pretty moving forward. Adding more debt to buy back equipment that you had to give back to pay for existing debt is not a good way of doing business. So all in all, terrible situation here. absolutely horrendous if you're an investor. If you're shorting it, you're an absolute wizard because you've seen something a lot of people didn't. But if you're long on this, man, oh man, it's tough times ahead, and I don't think it's going to get any better before it gets worse. I don't think it's going to get better. It's going to get worse moving forward. So you may want to deploy your capital elsewhere if you're a Stronghold Digital. If you think that's going to be recovering in the next little while, I don't think it's going to be happening. This is just really, really troubling times moving forward. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. And I just want to make sure before we sign off that you are aware that I'm not a financial advisor and Joey's not a financial advisor. And nobody who's ever been on a show is considered to be a financial advisor. So make sure you do your own research before you do anything that we talk about on this show, because or else you'll get wrecked. And with that, we'll probably be talking again on Monday. So take care.